Well, I will say this. If there's ever a time that you want to debut and practice singing a song that's on your heart, tonight is the night to do that. And
sing a song.
Been a long time. I'd have to go back and I'd
What was the name?
Born to Serve the Lord. And I'd have to go back and look at the words, to be honest with you, because I'd probably stumble all over through them. But open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to Psalms chapter 42. But I might surprise you sometime in the near future. I might try to sing that again. Huh?
He used to sing it quite often.
Yeah. Any of you ever grow plants that the ones that worked hardest for me are in this situation are the ones that I had most common that did this to me was potato plants. Sometimes I would plant, and especially where I live right now, I've got very shallow soil and a lot of rock, and I can put potatoes. I put potatoes out the first year or two I was there. And they would have the prettiest plants. Then I'd dig them up. And they wouldn't be the size of a big marble. And just aggravate me to death. Because I'd look at the plants and I'd think, man, I'm going to have some good potatoes. And when somebody talked to me about my garden, I'd say, well, then I'd say, nope, all plant. No root, all plant. And I know if you've ever grew many things, sometimes you would see that situation with fruit or vegetable. It would have the prettiest leaves and prettiest plant ever was, but didn't have enough root. And because it didn't have enough root, therefore it didn't produce what it needed to produce. Psalms chapter 42, I want to share, and tonight's a good night to deal with this group. In 42, there's a lot of ideas about who this psalm is about. John Phillips, that writes a lot of things on psalms, he thought it was Hezekiah. Remember Hezekiah? Isaiah told him that to get his house in order, he will surely die. And remember that he turned to God, began to pray, and God granted him 15 years. And he gave him a sign in which Ahaz's sundial, he allowed it to go back 10 degrees. Remember that? And Hezekiah was granted 15 years, an addition of 15 years. And we'll get back to Hezekiah here in a moment. But some think that it was David, when David was running from his son and Absalom, and Absalom was wanting to kill him, and he loved his son so well. But whatever it was, the psalm is about when you really get deep with God. When you get down and God's able to communicate with you in your deep part. There are some Christians that are so shallow. Everything about them, what you see, is the most about them. They're all plant, no root. In other words, there's nothing deep about them. Tonight, I want to preach upon this thought, deep, that calls to the deep. And I want to show you something I saw that I hope I'm able to bring it out the way I saw it. Sometimes I see something and have a hard time letting you see what I'm seeing and looking at. But let's begin reading and listen to the words of this. And if you ever had something come into your life that you had to fall upon your face before God and cry out to God, then you'll understand this. It says, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God.
with the voice of the joy and praise, and with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and from Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, in my prayer unto the God of my life. Let me try to get this thought, and I want you to think about deep. And when I'm talking about deep, I'm talking about something that is more than just shallow in your life. It goes deeper, and it goes down to the very root of your heart. And of course, it's obvious from the writing here that whoever and whatever this person was going through, they needed God. And there's sometimes when you're in a point like that and you need God so desperately that you wonder where he's at. You just can't feel him. And then you go through and you get down to this point where God begins to minister to you. You see, if you're ever going to have really anything from God, God doesn't deal with shallowness. He only deals with deep. If you're going to get saved, you're going to have to get deep. You're going to have to get beyond the... I've seen some people walk the aisle chewing gum and smiling and get up and just walk back and have a smile on their face. And I've seen others come that got deep. When you get deep, you can talk to the deep, because the deep talks to you. And when you've down deep and you have some roots in your life, you know, Jesus gave that parable of the sower. And he went around sowing the seed, and only one had any root. And the one that had root was the one that brought forth some fruit. Now, sometimes what you find is, and I'm going to a place, and I hope that you're able to follow me, and I hope you don't misunderstand me. We're going to a place where it's not what people sees and hears from you here. It's the hidden life that you have with God that no one else sees. Now stay with me a minute, and I'll give you truth. If you don't have any hidden life, let me give you an example. There's some people that every little thing that comes in their life that God's done, they tell about it. The only thing they have is what everybody else knows about. They have no deepness within them. They have nothing to pull from. And to be honest with you, most of the time when you find these, that every little thing that happens to them, you say, well, shouldn't we give a testimony? It's fine to give a testimony. And I'll get to this at the end, but I want you to stay with me before you jump to conclusions. It's fine to give a testimony, but when you're shallow, what you're doing is you're bragging on your faith in you. You're not bragging on God. And even though sometimes they say, well, let me brag on God, but in the whole time, they want to do it in a setting, they want to do it in a time that everybody hears what they did because of their faith or because of their actions, or they set themselves up. And sometimes you hear people preach, it does the same thing. You ever hear someone preaching, it's always, I. And what they're doing, and you mark those people down, they're shallow. Everything they have with God, they spill it out to everybody else. They have no hidden life. Unless you have something that goes deep and hidden that other people can't see, you never are able to cry out to the deep, and deep doesn't cry out to you. Now stay with me a minute, and I'll show you a truth here if I can. Now, as we go through here, and you think about that, and think about how that you've seen some people that every experience they have is just manifested to everybody else. There's nothing, and there's nothing wrong with good works, and nothing wrong with having good works and letting people see it. Nothing wrong with giving God glory, and we'll get on that in just a moment. But if you remember the Bible, Jesus said this. He said, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now listen to me a minute. I want to try to help you if I can. And I'm preaching myself with you. There are, if you're going to ever help anybody spiritually, there are a lot of people that's going through works, actions. They have no root, but they go through the works and actions. Only until you can get to deep, and only until your deep has communicated with his deep, can you ever help anyone else with their deep. You follow me? Does that make sense? Because what happens is, if you have never been and you don't have that hidden life down deep, and a lot of times if you want to be a help to somebody, you have to have some hidden life yourself. If you're shallow, it never reaches them. And what you tell them goes in their ear, but it never goes into their soul. And it never stirs their soul. You remember Jesus where he said that we'd let other people let our light so shine. But over in the next chapter in Matthew chapter 6, he said, when you pray, go in your closet. When you give. One time I had a guy and he got mad at me. And I told him. And I know Brother Porter probably know who I'm talking about. The rest of you may not. And I don't mean to talk. I'm just using this as a point. Sometimes I'd have preachers come in, preach a revival. Never give a nickel. He just, maybe a dollar. But if he liked them, then he'd always walk out the door and hand them a $100 bill and shake hands with them. And I told him, I said, don't you understand? You're getting all your glory here. God doesn't get the glory. And what you do is, the Bible says not to let the left hand know what the right hand. And you say, well, he gave to all these places. And he wanted his paper and that face and the name in the paper everywhere too. But what I'm saying is, he was a very shallow man. You say, well, my goodness. He gave this one $5,000. He gave that one. The kids one time, they go about and they ask for donations. And they went to him and asked donation. I didn't even know they were going there. And they went, asked the donation. And so I told him, I said, tell him if he's got any work, we will work and earn our money. And so he sent me word back that he had two or three lots over here. We go clean up and pick up all the trash and all that. He'd give us so X amount of dollars. So that's what we did. We went over there and we cleaned his lots up and we did that and we earned their money. And I did that because I didn't want to go through that process. I just didn't feel good about it. My point is this, I don't mean to be mean, I'm just trying to use it as an example. He was very shallow because everything he ever did, he told everybody what he did. You see what I'm saying? There was no hidden life. Everything he did was, everybody knew. And so you got to be very careful and understand that that's not what I'm preaching about tonight. I'm preaching about deep, calling to the deep. You see, there are, when you have deep experiences, go with me to a place in the Bible, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to take you to a couple places tonight, and I want you to see this, and I hope you'll understand when I get through. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 1. Paul said, it is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He said, I knew a man in Christ above what? 14 years ago, rather in the body, I cannot tell, or rather out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise. That's the third heaven, by the way. And where God is, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I will forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And notice the next few verses, we quote them quite often. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm what? How many of you have ever used a part of that section that I just read? I cannot tell you how many times that I remember when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I cannot tell you how many times that I have said it to myself, I have said it to you, and I've said it to other people. God's grace is sufficient. But remember that what Paul said. Paul said that, he said, I knew a man 14 years ago. Now, if you go back, this was when he was at Lystra. This was when he was stoned. And what he was done, he was stoned to death, they thought. And that's why he says, whether I was in the body or in the spirit, I don't know. And so they drug him out thinking he was dead. They drug him out. And they left him for dead. But he got back up and he left. But he was caught up in the third heaven. And so he got to see God's throne. He got to see other things in heaven. He said the things he saw was not lawful for a man to even utter. Now, he said that. And he said, I would not glory. It's not expedient for me to glory. But what he was saying is he was using it to help other people. And how many times have I been helped with this portion of scripture? Because what God did was he caused him to have something that was lasting, that was difficult for him to deal with from that experience. And he said the messenger of Satan buffeted him. That means that he beat him up, whatever it was. And evidently he said, I prayed three times for God to remove this, whatever it was. Now, I don't know if it was a limp. I don't know if it was an indention in his face. I don't know. Everybody's got their own opinions, and none of us know. It was not the mystery of the thorn that's important. It was the ministry of the thorn. And God used it so that he would not exalt himself above measure. Why would he exalt himself above measure? Because he got to see in heaven. He went up to paradise. But now note this, take note. For 14 years, he never breathed a word of it. There's this guy named Percy Collett, I believe. I used to have a tape. Dad got it somewhere. And this Percy Collett, he went around and filled arenas up. And he pretended like he was caught up in heaven like Paul. And he started telling and bragging about everybody. And he told me in this tape, you'd listen to it. He said, I was walking down that street of gold. He doesn't even know that the streets of gold is not prepared yet. He said, I was walking down that street of gold. And he said, all of a sudden, a Paul holler said, hey, Percy, what are you doing up here? And boy, he carried out, and it would be sellout arenas. Paul went to heaven,
and never mentioned a word of it to nobody for 14 years. And he said, what I'm about to tell you, I'm not saying to glory for my glory. He said, even though I bore, and you know, he could have said every time, whatever it was, whether it was his limp, or whether it was something defaced, or whatever it was that disfigured him, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was his eyesight, as some people, maybe he's hitting the side of the head or back of the head and messed up his eyesight. I don't know what it was. But you know, when people look at him, he could have said, if he's like us, most of us would have said, oh, I got that when God took me up in heaven. I got to see up in heaven. And man, he gave me this so I wouldn't be too proud of myself. Never breathe a word. 14 years. He walked around and everybody would look at him. And whatever it was. He said, three times I prayed and I said, oh God, would you remove this? But not one time did he ever mention it to a person. You know, he could have went in those churches and said, I've been up in heaven. And can you imagine the crowds he would have drawn? But see, he was deep. The reason why he lived his life like he lived it and sacrificed the persecutions and everything he had is because he had some deepness. His roots went way deep. And see, he kept those experiences, his deep experiences, he kept them between him and God. The only time that he ever used it was when it was able to help somebody else. And he's helped thousands and thousands and thousands. I cannot tell you how many people has been helped through this scripture right here in chapter 12. But had it been when he first went into Ephesus or first went over to Corinth, and boy, Corinth would have been a good church. You know what they'd done? They'd do like in Indiana. I was going through a place called Santa Claus, Indiana. Any of you ever been there? You know the thing that amazed me? First Baptist Church, you know what they got out in front of the church? Santa Claus with a bag of toys. A statue of him. For Santa Claus, First Baptist Church. Had Paul went around bragging, they built statues about him. But Paul... what kept Paul going and what got Paul through and what made Paul such a great man of God is he had some depth. He was deep. And when you're deep, you have a hidden life that other people don't know about, that God's done for you. And you don't brag about it, because so many times when you're bragging about it, what you're doing when you're bragging about it is you're saying, look at me. Look what God did special just for me. Paul didn't do that. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Isaiah chapter 39. Let me take you one more place, and now I'll close here in a few moments, but I want you to see this. Isaiah chapter 39. Do you ever wonder why so many times when Jesus would heal people, he would tell them not to go and say anything about it? Did that ever bother you? Did you ever say, well, why don't they just go and tell everybody? But you know, there's a time or two, he said, go back and tell your folks what the Lord's done for you. But you know what he did in Mark chapter 5? He said that. But you know, most time, you know what he said? Don't tell anybody. What he's trying to get us to understand is, you've got to have some depth in your life. Death means that there's something that goes on between you and God, and it goes down deep, and it's something that nobody else can understand, and nobody else knows, but you know it. Now, remember I told you Hezekiah. Now, I don't know if that psalm, the deep calls the deep, but can you imagine Hezekiah, the mood that he was in when Isaiah come to him and said, you better set your house in order, you're going to die. And boy, he fell on his face. And I'm going to tell you what, I bet he meant business when he prayed. Now remember, Hezekiah was the one, his dad was a wicked man, but Hezekiah was the one that brought revival back and opened the doors of the temple and allowed them to start worshiping and tearing down some idols and all those things. If you read that over in Chronicles, Hezekiah did all those things.
But yet here God was. He come and told him he was going to die. And so Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, began to pray unto God, and God granted him 15 years. And he said, I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to let the dial go back 10 degrees. But then look at the very next. That would happen in chapter 38, by the way, of Isaiah. And verse 8, if you see there, he said, behold, I will bring again the shadow of degrees, which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards, so the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. Imagine what he had to tell. Well, let's look a little bit and see what he did. Look, if you would, in chapter 39. Verse number 2. Hezekiah was glad. Now, what happened was, if you look right up above that, for the Babylonian people at that time, Merodach, Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah. For he had heard that he had what? Been sick and what? Was recovered. So here he was telling everybody what happened to him. Then look what happened, verse 2. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasure. There was nothing in his house nor in all of his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. And so here Hezekiah was, man, he was just showing them everything, telling them everything about it. And he was bragging. He was just saying, look what I've got and all this. Now here God was, he just healed him. And they heard that he was miraculously, now he was probably sick with a plague or something, whatever it was. But then God had healed him, gave him 15 more years. And what did he begin to do? He began to bring the enemies in and show them everything and tell them everything. Now, think about this. And so Hezekiah, instead of keeping and growing in the depths with him and God in relationship, everything that has gone on with him, he was sharing with everybody. Look, if you would, at verse 3. Then came Isaiah, the prophet, unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, what saith these men, and from whence came they unto thee? Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all that's in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures I have not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that's in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store to this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And he went on, if you notice there, he went on, he said, your sons that shall issue from thee, which thou hast begot, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the place of the king of Babylon. In other words, they was going to be taken captive to Babylon when all the treasure was going to take, and they were going to be made eunuchs, and a lot of times eunuchs would be castrated, and they would be put in the service of the king. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what? Your sons are all going to go over here. Everything you got is going to be taken away after you die. That's a good word. Just sure glad it's not happened to me in my 15 years. Forget about what's going to happen to my sons and all them. You see what Hezekiah was? He had no depth. He wanted to brag. Now listen to me. I want you to get this because I don't want you to walk away thinking. There are times in church that God lays upon your heart to give him praise through testimony. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. Most of the time, if anyone has any spiritual discernment, they know when you're glorifying God, they know when you're glorifying yourself. I've been in some services where people begin to testify, and boy, God's just everywhere. Then I've been in some, God wasn't in none of it, I didn't think. Everybody began to brag about how great their faith was, how they were unique, how God did something special for them. And it's, you can tell, because when you give God glory, and let me say something. There's times when God does something for you, he wants you to keep to yourself. He wants you to use that to grow between you and him. And see, from the depth of where that's at, it can speak into the depth of who he is. You see, he don't talk this shallow stuff. And there's a whole lot of people who thinks they get something from God in the shallowness of God. You get it in the deep. And when God really gets to you, and you're able to have that hidden life that nobody else, they look at you, and you know, have you ever seen somebody, and then all of a sudden you find out, man, they've gone through something? And you thought, man, they've got something hidden there I didn't even know. And what I'm trying to get you across is this. Anytime that God says to share something with somebody, by all means. Because you need to understand this. Until you develop that depth, you can never help someone else with their depth. You see, deep only calleth to deep. It doesn't deal with shallow. And when you're sitting there and you're telling somebody something, and you're sitting there trying to get self-praise and self-glory out of it, and you're telling them, then what you need to understand is this. That's not what God gets out of it. Sometimes there are some things that God does for you, he wants you to keep between you and him. 14 years, not a word did Paul say about. And then it come to a time, and the Corinthian church was at a place, he said, I'm telling you this for you, it's not expedient for me. I'm not doing it for my glory. I'm telling you because I have to help you here. And as a matter of fact, he was so humble about it, he said, I knew a man 14 years ago. Now, whether he's dead or not, I don't know. And he goes on, he tells a story where he doesn't receive. But he said that the Lord gave him, Satan buffeted him, the messenger of Satan buffeted him, and so forth. And he goes on and explains it. And the thing that I got when I saw this, 14 years, and that man kept that experience. Not one word, one whisper. If he had went around, everywhere he would have went, there would have been crowds and multitudes. Did you notice how many times that Jesus never shared a lot about himself to people in certain situations? Sometimes he would be in a situation and the Bible says he said not a word. You know, I often think about the situation with Herod. He knew Herod was going to die. Lost, going to hell in just a short few years. He knew that that Herod was fixing to die. People were going to proclaim him as a god, and worms going to eat out of his body. God, Jesus didn't know that. And he was standing before Herod, and Herod's wanting to hear something and see something from Jesus. And the Bible said, not a word. See, deep can only call to deep. Herod wanted tricks. Jesus only dealt with depth. And so tonight, I just wanted you to think about and understand. There are times when someone stands up and gives a testimony. God just, and you've heard me say this. You know, if you hadn't have done that, you would rob me of a blessing. But when God tells you to do something, you do that.
That's right. Amen.
But when your flesh is telling you to do it, there are some things, experiences that God wants between you and him to enrich the relationship that you have with him. And then when you have that enrichment in the depth, you can help somebody else in their depth. And God will use that. And he will speak to you. And you know, only messages that comes from the death really does you any spiritual good. Everything else is just shallow that falls off of you. And so tonight, I just wanted to bring a truth, how depth calleth unto depth, and how we need depth in our life. Don't be a plant that everybody sees all they are to you. You come here, you do a few things, You do this, you do that, everybody knows it. That's all there is to you. There's no root. You need some depth. Amen. Let's stand and give a song, brother.